as far as that criminal activity, how it all weaves in, I believe, is just his arms that are used in order to benefit from the child trafficking, and is able to use these children in certainly the pornography and prostitution, that and to bring in other children. In a place in my book, I talk about how I was used under mind control as a child to enlist other children into an automobile in California in order, and then these were children that, as I was aware as a child, probably did not have the background or programming or had not even been abused, but were kidnapped off the street and enticed with the use of another child to bring them in. And then once they were in the car, they were trapped and they were used. You know, I watched as they were used in pornography and then were used in snuff films in which they were actually killed during the filming and then were disposed of in whatever manner. But then certainly this type of what some of these sick and sadistic people think of as entertainment that feeds their own perversions and their own sick senses is what has really brought in a large financial base that certainly has been used to and has been exposed by other women who have talked about these funds been used to fund the black operations, CIA, government, mind control, different military or medical experiments that were done. And I believe a lot of this is where a lot of the funding comes from for a lot of these experiments and continued research.
These ties into the criminal activities such as you mentioned, child pornography, prostitution, and also drug trafficking. How widespread do you, in your opinion, is trafficking in children?
I think it's very widespread, and I think that the public has been seriously fooled by the False Memory Foundation and a lot of the media that has gone on saying that all these cases that have come up with the preschools and different agencies around the country where children are coming forward and telling what happened to them, that does include pornography, statements of being used in sexual ways and certainly being abused in the child's mind is being discredited. And I believe that these children that are telling the truth, that saying the same things that happened to me and a lot of other women across the country when we were children, are certainly being discredited by the media, but that the from what I understand and from the first-person accounts that I hear, the people that are my age and that go back even older and then younger that are talking about the amount of children in preschool that have been programmed that may not have been intergenerational ritual abuse ties, but who have been programmed and then used with the pornography and prostitution in order to create great avenues of funding. It's very large. And I think that combined with kids that are found missing off of the street and kidnapped in an attempt to use them as a means of funding all of this horror is continues to go unchecked by the public population that finds all of this so incredulous that they don't even believe it. So here we have survivors who children who are also re-victimized by a disbelieving public and oftentimes uninformed mental health and church systems that are unable to who believe that this kind of atrocity has gone on, and so they're unable to come to these children's aid or to the adult survivors who are attempting to find avenues of relief and help in order to stop this and help themselves.
Yeah, it really seems that their biggest cover up for all of these atrocities is the public disbelief that these go on.
Yes, absolutely. That's Walter Bauert, who wrote Operation Mind Control, has a blurb in his book that says that the big secrets are protected by their incredulity, and certainly I believe that that those that strategized this plan were very well aware that when all of us started talking about these things, that just like in Nazi Germany, when people still today want to believe that a lot of those horrors didn't happen, that people would turn away in denial of what really happened because it's so horrific and incredulous.
Now, speaking of Nazi Germany, there have been a number of allegations that there has been Nazi involvement, particularly in connection with the Project Paperclip, of importing Nazis after World War II into the United States. Have you come across any Nazi connections in your experience?
Yes, I have, and just to enlarge and expand a little bit on this Project Paperclip, Linda Hunt wrote a book about Project Paperclip in which she explained that Mark Phillips, who was an intelligence officer, had actually, and he personally told me that he was part of bringing in some of these Nazi doctors and bringing them into our country and giving them immunity, and that he was unaware at the time what the full ramification of what these people were doing within our country, but that he was aware that that was happening. So right there is the Nazi connection of how these men, who were a lot of the scientists and doctors who had used the population of prisoners in the concentration camps as their unwitting and unwilling and horrific suffering people as their population of research, and how then they were brought to our country and put into the major universities and research centers in order to further their research on the mind control, and then were given over to the population of ritual abuse survivors in order to have now another group to experiment on, of which certainly myself and my children were a part of that, that also included genetic experiments that were done to me and to my children. When, as far as the Nazi connections that I'm aware of in my past, I am aware of my mother telling me that my father went to some neo-Nazi meetings along with my grandfather, my grandmother, when I was just a little girl. And I know that in a lot of my recovery work, what the symbol that I kept drawing over and over was the Nazi symbol. And I saw that symbol as a child at some of the satanic ritual ceremonies that were done to me and to others, and certainly I believe that that is a very large part of all of this. And as society continues to want to even put Nazi Germany and the horrors of those people that suffered in the concentration camps under the rug and not look at it, it continues to proliferate here, even within our country, as these people are still getting away with doing the human experimentation and torturing people today.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel that the experiments that were done in the Nazi concentration camps during the Holocaust, that they were for the purposes of developing mind control?
Oh, definitely. In fact, last year I went to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., and saw there's pictures of the actual brain experimentation and a lot of the research that was done. It's all there for people that have the eyes to see that it absolutely was experimentation. And there's pictures of people being experimented on.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have, in your experience, did you come across Joseph Mengele in the United States? A number of survivors of mind control have named him as being involved in their abuse in the United States post-World War II era. Was that part of your experience?
No, actually it wasn't, Wayne, but what was there were doctors at UCLA Neuropsychiatric Institute who were very instrumental in my programming, and where I reported to oftentimes by myself as a result of responding to my programmed instruction to report there, and where my programming was checked in on and made into whatever it was that the needs were of the time. So, no, the answer to that is no, but yes, there were doctors. There were doctors all over the country that I reported to in various military installations and certainly UCLA.
And a number of people I've interviewed have talked about the occult ideology of these groups that are responsible for perpetrating mind control. What do you think the significance of that is?
Well, I think that historically, if I mean, I've been able now to read back and to understand that the occult plan for this New World Order has gone back generations and was built on very heavily through all kinds of what seemingly look like religious ideology, and I believe that that the occult belief system and the evilness of that and the destructiveness and certainly being interlaced with superstitious beliefs is what continues to allow these things to proliferate as people's belief systems, that they believe in all of this perversion gives them the power to take it forward into these times. And I think that it's like for the Satanists to believe that these satanic rituals and all of the perversions that are done during those rituals that allow them in their belief system to believe that they're gaining power by doing all these horrors and stealing energy from children and babies and all of the different ways that they believe as they're killing, that it allows them to continue on. And until these belief systems are cleaned up and until people that are good people on the planet begin to be able to weed through their own denial that this level of atrocity could still be going on today, I think that that's where the problem lies. It's the people that are perpetrating still this occultic belief that meets up with the denial of even Christians who can't believe this and say they're frightened by it and don't want to deal with it. And so it's been my experience in watching that as good people do nothing, that the children continue to be tortured and abused.
And do you think this ties in, just in a general sense, with these groups that have been using mind control in their motivation towards more and more power and wealth? Like, you know, I get asked, well, don't these old money family groups have enough power already? What is motivating them to perpetuating these atrocities?
Well, what I saw, from what I saw from the inside of sitting, you know, in a group of these men who were strategizing, is it's almost like some of these people are so unbalanced intellectually that they and certainly fueled by whatever abuses that and unloving, uncaring, horrific abuse systems that they may have come from, that they view and believe very strongly in the intellect and not feelings or any kind of caring or love or anything like that, where that they more or less look at this as a game, of their intellect, sort of like a group of powerful men sitting in a room, thinking up strategies of how they might be able to control the world and what benefits they might be able to have. But from what I saw, it seemed like it was a big game to them. And in fact, they used, with me, and part of my programming was a chess game where they used different pieces of that chess game to represent to me different world leaders and how this was how the game was played, and it was all used in a very symbolic way. But I believe that these people are very intelligent and are able to strategize and come up with a plan, but it's almost as if the stakes had to get raised higher, just like in a poker game of, you know, who could control who and how successful they would be in seeing how they can control the minds of the entire planet.
Hmm. Now, I want to ask you if you are aware of any direct government ties to some of these satanic cults that seem to have proliferated across North America, and have a lot of survivors have come forth in their accounts of their experiences with these cults. And I suppose there's a lot of different levels there in terms of their involvement within the overall government mind control picture, but I want to ask if you knew of any direct government ties to some of these cults.
Well, the government ties, I believe, to the cults are the politicians that I believe have realized and are very aware that the people in the cults, and especially in the satanic cults that are born and have multiple personality disorder from the abuse that they suffer within their families, are certainly prime candidates because of their dissociative abilities and inability to stay present in a unified whole way with their minds to even know what's going on. I believe that so through the politicians and then through the military as the bases were used with a lot of the equipment for the mind control, and certainly was used as a way to cover up these experiments by saying that they were military projects. There's a base in California. It still is. Point Magoo Naval Base is on the coast there. It was real close to my house where myself and my children reported. And certainly that base was, until recently, was actually armed with a man with a gun in the tower. And, you know, you want to ask people, in my recovery, I would ask people, why would you think that a military base here in California on the coast would need to have, you know, men with submachine guns standing up in the guard tower? And so I believe that the military was used as a branch of the government in order to be able to house these projects in a way that they could be kept secret from the public, and yet here the public is paying taxes and actually funding these research projects in ways that they have no idea where their money's going, paying their tax dollars to actually support these secret government projects, of which people are just now beginning to come forward and through the Freedom of Information Act be able to demand some of these projects be brought to light. I think the government ties are very strong of certain individuals within the government who have certainly been a part of this New World Order plan. And from what I saw with the presidents all being involved with their Masonic connections, and certainly some of them higher Masonic connections than others, and with the tip of the iceberg being up with the level of Masonic ability to be the 33rd degree Mason, certainly where the mind control technology is hidden. I believe that this branches out into a lot of top hierarchy of a lot of organizations, and not just the government, but goes also now into the major corporations of the world, where a lot of the corporate heads have been manipulated into the system. So it's where there is talent, money, and power and control, a lot of this has worked its way in with the secrecy aspect, allowing it to continue to remain secret.
Also, do you have any inside information about their control over the media and their connections there and how they manipulate media?
Yes, absolutely. I was amongst them when they were even planning in the late 60s and 70s, when they were planning strategies of how information would go into the newspapers. And I listened as they talked about the major families who owned some of the newspapers, and how through owning a lot of the major media, which I believe now is probably pretty complete if people were to look back and be able to trace the histories of a lot of the media, would be able to see that this is all pretty much locked up, and that these things are censored when any of these subjects would attempt to work their way into the media, would be covered up. One intelligence officer told me that there was a Russian intelligence officer that was being interviewed on television, and they asked him a question about something, and he said, "Well, the Americans have won the war of the mind," and they whisked him off the air, and he never even showed back up. That was it, and it never went any farther. So I believe that the media is in a large cover-up right now, and people are listening and hearing a lot of stories that have been strategized to be what, in an attempt to have them believe what these people want them to believe, instead of actually getting the truth of what's gone on.
Now, the media currently is creating a lot of furor over this latest Clinton scandal. I wondered if you could comment on that, and if there is any indication that any of these women that are coming forward have been used like you have been.
Well, I would say that for myself, as certainly as a presidential model, and also speaking on behalf of other presidential models and women that I have spoken to within the last week or so, we all feel quite a victory that his reputation is being challenged, and that the truth is being brought forth. And I would like to, you know, commend Paula Jones and even stand with her knowing that this is a reality, and that this man needs to be stopped in his sexual perversions. And I would say that personally, for me, I was devastated when he was reelected, and I should and do try to remind myself all the time that, you know, the presidents really aren't elected. But I think that it is going to take the Americans of the world to take back this country and to really research and find out what is going on in order to stop it, and to realize that our leaders, even if they're not in control of themselves, may have an agenda here that is not for the good of the whole.
Now, do you feel that this scandal may have possibly been engineered against Clinton by another power group with not good intentions either?
Right, and certainly, Wayne, I have no way of knowing that. I think that this man has perpetrated more horror to women on this planet, as well as a lot of the violence that's gone on that continues to it in its attempt to be leaked out through alternative media sources, and that the American public still is so, I don't know if it's, they're so busy trying to earn a living for their families that they don't have time to really research what their leaders are doing, but it seems like people have, up until now, been pretty short-sighted. And I certainly think that there are and have to be good people within the White House and within the intelligence community who may not know what is going on and don't understand the mind control or the levels of which of how it's been used to manipulate, and certainly may be behind bringing out some of these scandals or allowing them to leak at least some of the truth into the press. And I think it's a wonderful thing that at least you know, our president is being called in to check about some of the allegations that are made repeatedly against him as far as his sexuality and his adultery and all the perversions that follow it.
And in your experience, is Clinton any different than other presidents in that regard?
No.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you feel is necessary to bring all of this into more of a public limelight in exposing these atrocities?
I think that it's going to take a lot of education for people, and I think it's going to take the public waking up and coming out of denial about the level of evil that that people are able to perpetrate on other people. And I think it's going to be taking, the people are going to need to start taking the survivor account into a belief arena in order to stop what has gone on, because everybody is going to be a victim of this. Certainly the victims of mind control have suffered immensely through years of torture and trauma, but society also is a victim of this, because until people are reintegrated and deprogrammed, they're a threat to peace in the society. As people well know, the programming that was done was not as effective and able to control people as they thought. And as people break down, their programming breaks down. It's a problem for society as people become violent. We find children that are killing their parents, and you know, we find that behind that is satanic abuse, but it's not allowed into the court system, and it's the reality of this has been covered up in so many different ways that that the public isn't getting the truth of what's really happened.
And what plans do you and other survivors of this have in terms of bringing this into more of a public view?
Well, certainly, Wayne, I speak out whenever I have a chance, whether it be radio, television, workshops, you know, different conferences that I speak at all over the nation and abroad. And that is certainly one avenue of giving information, certainly writing books. And I always encourage other survivors to write what happened to them and get it out. And I think that another presidential commission needs to be brought where a greater number of women are able to come forward with their stories, to stand with Valerie Wolf and her survivor clients who were so courageous to step forward and open the door on the mind control experiments. I think it's going to take you know, a grassroots movement of women who have been through this to expose it and stop it, and I think that would be a very powerful avenue.
Bryce, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us in this radio series. I know it takes a lot of courage to come forth as you have, and I wish you all the strength in your ongoing struggle to bring this to light.
Oh, thank you, Wayne. I really appreciate the opportunity of spending time sharing my story with you. Thanks.
Thank you. You've been listening. listening to an interview with Bryce Taylor, former presidential model mind control slave. And Bryce is also the author of a fictionalized account of her book, of her life rather, her book Starshine, One Woman's Valiant Escape from Mind Control. She claims that she has been abused while under the influence of mind control by presidents, politicians, old money power brokers, and entertainers, and these people used her as a sex slave and human computer, photographically remembering classified documents on secret projects related to a New World Order implementation. Next week, we're going to bring you an interview with Gail Fisher-Taylor, a Toronto-based therapist for ritual abuse survivors, in this ongoing series on mind control. Stay tuned. Coming up next is Tejiendo Rebeldías.